This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Most defensive linemen, first year, it's a bit of a transition. But if they can get, probably not a Mason Graham, but, you know, Kenneth Grant from Michigan, who, depending on the size of the buffet, it runs anywhere from 335 to 340, that Dexter Lawrence type, and I don't want to say Dexter Lawrence type because he's one of one, but that kind of player, where you have someone like a Chris Jones, like a Nnamdi Matabuike, who can not only get in there and you know, soak up blocks for other people and make that possible, but just wreck half an offensive line by himself.
That is Doug Farrar on Yesterday with One Bills Live, as the NFL Combine will get going next week. We're all seemingly in full-on draft mode. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Wanted to play that clip coming in here, too, especially because we will be sort of diving headfirst into the 2025 draft. Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network is going to join us in about an hour. And I've, like, been excited for this conversation since I booked it last week.
Yes.
I love Ryan. I had him on a few times with Shope and the Bulldog, and he was somebody that kind of, you know, for a while there, Keon Coleman was not on the radar for any, like wide receiver.
But he was low on, he was low on it for a lot of people.
He was very low on it, and Ryan was one of the guys that was like, well,
hang on,
he might be a guy for the Bills. And, you know, what do you know?
Like,
a month later,
he was the guy for the Bills.
He was the guy for the Bills. So, like, now he's become one of my more trusted go-to guys with the draft. Of course, everyone at the Draft Network also is a really, really good get. They all know their stuff. They all do copious amounts of homework.
They're all very nice people, too.
You know, if we're being honest, I could probably ask him about the 2026 draft, and you'll probably give me a little bit of a rundown on it.
Give a little bit of a sneak peek.
Yep, so I'm very excited for that conversation. And really, I think we're all in this point now of talking about the draft and talking about the offseason, because the Bills have clear needs. And this draft class in particular seems to be, or maybe not even just the draft class, the offseason in particular seems to be a buffet for the Bills and their needs, whether it be edge rusher and the trade requests.
So we've been workshopping something, though, for the last couple days. You and me both on separate shows and then yesterday together. To a point where we finally have agreed now on a name for what we want to do this year. When it comes to our draft strategy, and our preference for what the Bills end up doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that name is?
The Beef Wagon.
Beef Wagon.
We're on the Beef Wagon.
Hop on the Beef Wagon, everyone.
I want to have some fun with it because, of course, you know, Jeremy and Joe had the wide receiver train. I think they're still kind of doing it to a certain extent as well. But I want to have a little bit of fun with it, kind of put our own stamp on it. And Well, yes, I do want another receiver, and if we're going through my draft plan, I want a receiver if they don't trade any of the picks.
But I do also one of those feel seconds. Like you might find something in free agency more capably.
Hollywood Brown.
It worked for them, didn't it?
I mean, did it work for the Chiefs?
When he got back healthy, yeah.
He got back healthy, yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Just missed most of the year, but... I want a young guy. I'm always going to be a draft first guy because you look at a lot of teams.
Because then that's long-term viability with these players.
But it's also cheap contracts, young guys. Many of them have not kind of had to experience the wear and tear of the NFL either, so there's that added bonus. But, you know, looking again like at this offseason, it seems perfectly suited for the Bills to make a lot of moves and to get into a good position, even at like running back. If James Cook is really going to be something here that we're going
to if we have a situation to watch out for, got a situation to watch out for, looking at running back in day two like they usually do is something to keep your eye on.
It all of a sudden becomes very, very advantageous for the Bills to maybe go into a fourth, fifth round and grab a running back. We'll see. It's just I like this offseason a lot, but we were talking, you know, kind of in a little bit of show prep today too. You're more on the idea. I'm not saying that you think it's going to happen, but you're much more
Steeled on the resolve that Myles Garrett to the Bills makes too much sense for it to not happen.
Where I am much more sort of resigning myself to the idea of, number one, I think they have more needs I think Garrett's going to kind of cover a few of them.
That's the thing.
I don't think he fills a lot of them, and to my point with the draft and maybe this offseason as a whole, I think there's so many opportunities for the Bills to cover all those needs with the cheap labor and kind of build from within, which they do tend to like to do.
You've more or less kind of resigned yourself to the fact that like there's other teams out there that
are going to want him, get him.
That you think someone else is going to get him, and it's not realistic. Not that it's not realistic, it's just you're losing hope, so to say, that Garrett won't happen. And I'm over here saying they have assets, though, and it makes too much sense. Which again leads me back to, I want a boring first two rounds of the draft. I want at least two of those first three picks to be used on, in some way, defensive line. Either it costs you a first, a second, and another pick next year to get Garrett, or you use two of those picks on defensive linemen, like an edge rusher and a D-tackle. Beef wagon.
It's going to be a fun offseason for this, because I think there's a lot of spots that the Bills can go, and I don't think a lot of them would be bad ideas. I think, you know, Nate even brought up, too, one of the mock drafts that came out, Daniel Jeremiah's.
Yes.
And he had the Bills taking Matthew Golden.
Out of Texas, yeah.
Purely out of value, that they could go, you know, defensive tackle, what have you, but purely out of value, Matthew Golden made sense. And Nate was like, yeah, not a shot with the safety out of Georgia, Malachi Starks.
Right.
And it was like, yeah, they really can go, you know, cornerback, safety.
There's a lot of ways they can go.
Edge rusher. But it's all defense. And that's, I know, this time last year, we were all having a similar conversation of they've gone defense too much. It's the offense's turn. But you do look at the last three drafts or so, it's been a lot of offense.
And here's the interesting part of it. Like, yeah, like the wide receiver trade and everything like that last year, you also look at it based on what has happened last as well. And the wide receiver trade, what had happened last? Stephon Diggs had gotten traded. As of right now, what has happened last with the Bills? They let the Chiefs score the most points they ever had all year.
And that was a continued theme of really a lot of their playoff losses.
But also, in a season where Buffalo gave up 40 points twice.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen to them.
Nope.
Fix it. That is what has happened last. So that is something that's kind of laying in my head of, yeah, no, if I see a wide receiver taken in round one, I'm going to shrug my shoulders, but like not be thrilled.
I think the value would have to make.
It would have to make sense. More or less, I would just be like, okay, so we're not planning on stopping anyone.
Yeah, we are just planning
Sounds
on trying
good.
To outscore everybody. Well, but it would be one of those things. Like,
this will be great for my heart.
But let's say out of nowhere, because the defensive tackle and the edge rusher class is so good that, you know, one receiver is taken and like Luther Burden out of Missouri is there at 30.
Yeah.
It would be one of those like value-wise, okay, this kind of makes sense.
It makes sense. And again, I'll nod my head and go, okay. So, EKG charts for the win probability. That sounds good.
Yep. That's where we're going to be. It can
up,
be fun.
Down, up, down.
It can be fun, just not, you know, healthy.
It's going to be fun. We're just all going to stress a lot.
I You know, looking though at even the free agency class, I think this is all going to kind of come down to the draft where you really feel something. I think there's a really good chance the Bills do something at cornerback or safety in free agency, get guys that are veterans they can bring in right away with the cornerbacks, work with Christian Benford, safeties, kind of ease Cole Bishop into potentially a starting role. I think that's where they would go in free agency. I mentioned it yesterday. I think that might be the only time they really get involved in free agency is those two positions.
Especially because of the fact that you're looking at this group right now and you're thinking, yeah, you do need a new corner opposite of Benford. And honestly, you do need an upgraded safety.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Taylor Rapp has served what he has been capable of doing, but I want an upgrade between him or Cole Bishop for next year, an immediate impact kind of guy, and someone that could play with a little bit more range than either of them can provide you. And this past year, you had three players with similar skill sets, physical, safeties, and not too much when it comes to ranging abilities.
Mm-hmm.
You need someone that could be a bit of a ball hawk out there in the back end, because that would fix the Bills in a lot of situations, I think, having that kind of player again. With Micah Hyde, you had one of the best defenses in the league. Jordan Poyer could fill the role if Hyde wasn't there back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But Poyer was also, between the two of them, the thumper of the two.
Yeah.
Hyde was the ball hawk. Hyde was the back guy. He was the one playing outside of the box at all times. Get me that guy again.
I don't necessarily know if he fits this mold, but in terms of age-wise, I think he's fascinating. Is Andre Sisco. Mm-hmm. Out of Jacksonville, going to be 25.
Yeah.
And that could be a guy that the Bills could look at and go, we can mold him. He's got the NFL experience.
I think the Bills thought that with Taylor Rapp as well, though.
I think so.
So give me a guy that has that skill set already. And so I don't need a mold.
So you're bringing in, quote unquote, a guy like a Justin Reed, where he's been there, done that, very good.
Very good.
And maybe just kind of gets priced out of Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills can...
Well, priced out of Kansas City might also mean priced out of Buffalo.
Right. So that's that,
there's your downside.
That's my thing, is I think you might have to go more towards the molding of a guy because, well, you don't have a ton of cap space.
No, you don't have a ton of cap space. But safeties also are not what I would call the biggest breaking of banks.
Nope, that's right.
That's the good news of it. With how to treat it, though, of making sure you get a little bit of a veteran presence within your secondary as well, making sure that there are guys that are more comfortable playing in man coverage. I don't need to see DeMar, like the likes of a DeMar Hamlin, for example, playing man coverage against someone, because I know it's not going to end particularly well. That's okay. It's a box safety. That'll happen. Taylor Rapp, same thing. Box safety. He has a little bit more of that range ability, but like it's kind of there at this point. He shows it that he's a thumper. He's a guy that's going to bring the physicality on you guys, and he'll do it from the back end. Cole Bishop, I don't know what to necessarily think of him yet.
Yeah.
But I need someone that has a different skill set that can prove it to me that he can do something different at safety.
Mm-hmm.
And at corner, we saw it. Last year, they were calling more man coverage than they ever have with this iteration of the Bills. If you're going to switch to that transition, give me someone that can play nasty up front with you. Get hands-on, not draw a holding penalty every time.
Yep.
God, I wanted Kyrie Elam to work here. I really did.
It's showing
you. I wanted that so bad.
It's showing you, though, how much that being a miss has hurt you. Because let's say Kyrie Elam is a solid cornerback. I'm not saying he has to be a boom pick in the first round, but a damn good player that you're like, yeah, it's not a miss, but it's not. Greg Rousseau. Rousseau as a cornerback, where it's like, yeah, it's a good pick. It's not terrible. And then you have Christian Benford, where the value is incredible.
Exactly.
All of a sudden, any cornerback worries they had,
we wouldn't be talking about it.
We would, it would be a position that's a non-factor. Honestly, you don't even probably trade for Rasul Douglas.
No, you wouldn't have.
So we're sitting here probably thinking fifth, sixth round. Yeah, go add talent. I mean, go add like depth. You know, Taron Johnson's getting a little bit up there in age. Do you want to maybe add more of a nickel corner? All of a sudden, it's not an issue at all.
Yeah.
But now, because Elam has been such a miss for the Bills, it's becoming an issue. It's kind of the same thing we were talking a lot with the defensive line, where it's like Epinesa and Groot are okay, but you need to get better because in the biggest moments
you cannot have a Basham pick again.
Oh yeah, and the Basham pick also was a big miss because it's tough because I'm going to be somebody that's banging the drum for the draft, But looking at the Bills' first and second rounds of the last few years,
looking at their track record drafting defensive linemen is that problem. And that's why, going back to the Garrett thing, it makes too much sense for me. Because, ready? Say the Bills take a first rounder, a second rounder at defensive line, kind of like the Rams did. You know, DN first round, D tackle second round. You want them to make immediate impacts, but it is an if. If they're able to handle the rookie curve quickly, if they are able to make immediate impacts, yes, you get two for the price of one. Absolutely.
Yep.
With Myles Garrett, I don't have to ask if. With Trey Hendrickson, I don't have to ask if.
No, and it's
with Max Crosby, yeah. I don't have to ask if.
That's their biggest bonus, is, you know, coming in, you're going to be top 10 in pressure rates, top 10 in QB hits, probably top 10 in sacks, and for guys like Garrett, top 5 in all of those, Crosby, top 5 in all those. And that immediately, and it's the thing, it covers up a lot of your warts.
Yes.
My thinking, though, is I want elite players at all levels of the defense, because I really haven't been able to see what McDermott and now Babich can do with a lot of elite players. You've had like one or two in sporadic moments.
McDermott, I think, got the most when it came to elite players on multiple levels. If you look several years back, probably 2021, 2022, you had players like this. You had Micah Hyde at the back end. Tre'Davious White, before he was injured, was an emerging superstar. Matt Milano was. What wasn't there?
It was the pass rush.
It was the defensive line and the pass rush. Give me that. I have not had a star player up front
for longer than 10 games.
For longer than 10 games. Because, again, the idea of Von Miller, I'm sold that Brandon Bean is not afraid to do it again. Why? Because the Bills have not had the sustained pass rush through an entire season since Mario Williams. Like, give me that guy who commands the attention and beats it anyway. Myles Garrett comes to Buffalo. How many sacks are you chalking up for him on a down year?
And we were talking about this, what, like 12 and a half? 12 and a half's a down year?
On a down year, I'd be predicting 12. That's already better than most years. And he would be the one getting the attention, which means you're freeing up others for one-for-ones. You're freeing up Ed Oliver to have someone one-on-one with him on the interior. Look out.
It's just, I
that's where I think it's...
The big thing for me,
that's
though,
where
is...
That's where it makes too much sense.
It does. I can't bank now an off-season.
And you're not... Yeah,
off that.
You're not necessarily worried about it doesn't make sense. You're just worried about, I'm just having my hope on the idea dying inside a little.
Well, because it'll be something like, let's say he doesn't get moved by April.
Right.
You know, now all of a sudden, are we having kind of the same conversation we were last year, where it was trade up in the draft to go get a wide receiver? Is it all of a sudden we all build ourselves up too much for a move that the potential is not
the potential
high, or the percentage is not high to actually land him? I think Cleveland will trade him because he's going to kind of put them in a can't win situation. But there's also a chance that, I mean, there were reports this weekend they might offer him a massive contract to get this done, to keep him there, to keep him happy. Maybe they do add a quarterback and all of a sudden he's good. You know, let's say they draft a Shedeur Sanders and all of a sudden Myles Garrett is fine and rescinds his trade request because it's like, well, okay, you have a quarterback I can believe in.
You don't win four games with just a quarterback problem.
No, but they did make the playoffs the year prior because of a wonder run by Flacco. I don't think they're that far off. I think the Watson stuff is a real problem. They have issues, don't get me wrong.
But I think
Watson is a cancer on that organization that they seemingly can't get away from. When he was injured in a way and they just went to Flacco, it worked. You even saw it when they went to Winston outside of some of his picks. There is talent there. They can kind of figure it out. They're not great, but they can figure it out.
But
if they add a Shedeur Sanders and he is a Bo Nix player.
Remember the timeline, though. Garrett wanted to meet with the Browns brass, and then he did say, whatever happens in that meeting is going to dictate my future. And immediately he is now starting to ask for a trade. Something tells me that the meeting said, no, Deshaun Watson's going to be here next year. What do you mean? I'm out. That's what that tells me. Or we cannot recover from this financial issue with Watson's contract for like 2 years.
And so, yeah, when you're 31, we'll start figuring it out.
We'll finally start figuring it out 2 years later when you're 31. No thanks. I'm done. get me out of here. That's, and again, I'm just talking about something that makes sense. Like you said, I should probably be careful on kind of trying to overhype it up.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because of the fact that, like, there is still a low percentage of it happening. That said, that's why Garrett is still only the face of the idea. That's why Max Crosby's name should be included. That's why Trey Hendrickson's name should be included. That's why even Micah Parsons, in case Jerry Jones is on bath salts, throw his name in there. Because of the fact that Garrett's face is the representation of the ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Buffalo should do this in one way or another. Get an established pass rusher in here so I don't have to ask about if. I know production is going to be coming.
It's just, it's for me, I think as well, there's too many other holes. I think it's something, yeah, the pass rusher will be great, but who's your second cornerback? You know, we're still talking about safety. And if Cole Bishop isn't a home run or even just a good player, which, let's be honest, he hasn't necessarily shown that he needs to be starting, all of a sudden you get one pass rusher and it's like, if he's not having an amazing game, which can happen even to the best of players, although Myles Garrett's record against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs is actually quite good,
mm-hmm.
then you're in a bad spot. Then it becomes very quickly Max Crosby on the Raiders and Myles Garrett on the Browns where, man, they're awesome. Yeah, the defense has a lot to be desired. And even Cleveland, though, on their defense has guys like Denzel Ward who are really, really good. And that's my fear, is that we zero in too much on this one player when the defense as a whole, I think, has a lot of issues. And they showed last year they couldn't get off the field on third down. The run, stopping the run was rough at times.
Yes.
Even stopping the pass was really down from years past. And I think that's a lot to do to the zone scheme, which they ultimately have begun to move away from, and really – Rasul Douglas, age started to hit him, and Benford was kind of your only reliable cornerback. Teron Johnson was dealing with a lot of injuries last year.
And the fact that they called more man, and Douglas is a zone-dominant corner.
Yes. And it's just, for me, there is so many other needs on the defense. And why I'm excited for this draft is I think they can handle it. They can do it. They can add some guys in free agency and such, and it can work out. But adding a Myles Garrett, I think for me, I'd be really excited for a month or two. And then I'd look at the Bills' defensive roster likely after a trade like that and go, man, he better put up a defensive player of the year kind of year, which he is more than capable of doing. But even then, it might not be enough. Where I like the idea of, let's say, just for argument's sake, they add a Kenneth Grant, and then they add one of these edge rushers in the second round. They add a safety in the fourth, and they even had free agency to play. And it's like, okay, I can get around a lot of these guys. I can grab onto a number of different threads where this one is Myles Garrett better be awesome.
Yes, but at the same time, let's not act like the Bills were like a 25th or lower ranked defense.
They were in some categories.
But they were mostly middle of the pack at the end of the day. I'm not necessarily going to worry too much about it in that case, because an impact player, no matter where it is mm-hmm. on the field, changes some of this. If they were like a trash defense and there was only one good player on it or one elite player, that's a different story. But they do have Terrell Bernard. They do have Christian Benford. They have guys at the other levels that... there is something there. Ed Oliver is a good player. Greg Rousseau is a good player, even though like he could be included in such a trade. They just don't have someone that will steal you a game kind of player
mm-hmm.
on the defensive side. I think that's all that's missing because of the fact that they have a collection of good players. It's not like they are a 30th ranked defense. There's something there. That's where I think, again, that's where it makes sense to me. That's where, I guess, hope is injected in. And like I said yesterday, I'm not going to die on the hill. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But get me on the beef wagon. Mm-hmm. Use two of these three picks in the first and second round. I want two of your first three picks to be on defensive line. And it could be in a smattering of ways. It could be grabbing two young guys. It could be grabbing a Garrett or a Hendrickson or a Crosby.
Yeah, I think that's where we both do agree.
That is where we ultimately agree, and I kind of wanted to close the conversation on that.
It is defense and more defense with like a smidge of
give me
wide receiver, maybe.
Give me beef.
We'll see. The combine, again, is next week, although the actual testing does not begin until later in the week on Thursday, but we will have a lot of interviews, player interviews. Head coach Sean McDermott expected to meet with the media on Monday at 4. We will carry that live right here on WGR. Weirdly enough, though, it hasn't been that long since we've heard them talk, and that's been the one positive thing of you know, this era of the Bills. While no, they have not won a Super Bowl yet, it's not like we're sitting here in November going like, all right, who are the draft prospects? Let's gear up. Let's ready to end draft season is 6 months. It's like, for us, it's about 2.5, maybe.
Oh, man, yeah, I don't miss that at all.
You know, realistically, it's about 2.5 months. We're not sitting here watching, you know, rivalry weekend going, oh, this is my seventh game watching Cam Newton.
No, ready? There's something very real. The quarterback club.
Mm-hmm.
The text line that we had for that, and I was writing articles of the quarterback power rankings every week.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy's sending out a text of, hey, here's who these guys are playing against. Take a look at them all. I'm watching these games as much as I can, and I'm shuffling them in the power rankings.
Yeah,
we don't have to, while a Bills season is going on.
Yes, yeah, so glad that is done. Because you look at this
year's
draft.
And that team even made the playoffs.
You look at this year's draft, though. I mean, could you imagine being a quarterback needy team with this draft class, and even honestly this free agent class? The last two games of Sam Darnold.
And yet, considering everything you just said, I'm still fascinated by how aggressive teams might be in the top five or top 10.
Jackson Dart,
to
baby.
Get a quarterback just because last year was something so unprecedented.
Yeah.
That it tells you that teams are just, quite frankly, overly excited to get one.
Because you're just nowhere if you don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
You're just absolutely nowhere. 803-0550, the number to call. Talking draft prospects, where do you want to see the Bills go? Are you still on the offensive side of things wanting to see the Bills add a wide receiver very early in the draft? Could be a guy like a Matthew Golden out of Texas. Daniel Jeremiah had him going in to the Bills in yesterday's mock draft. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is WGR. Welcome back, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We got more news today in the NFL in terms of the 2025 International Games.
Ooh.
Chargers, week one, going to be the second team ever to be the home team of a Brazil game. Last year was, I believe, the Eagles were the home team.
Yes.
And they took on the Green Bay Packers. This year it's going to be the Chargers at Corinthians Arena. That'll be exciting. There's a lot of international games now. There's a lot of them. Just in the 2025 window alone. Mentioned Chargers in Brazil. Jets and Browns are both going to have one game at London, or in London at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Jaguars in London at Wembley Stadium. Colts are in Berlin. Dolphins in Madrid. Steelers in Dublin. And then, of course, next year, we're going to have the Rams against somebody in Australia, in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of international games. It's a lot.
There is a lot. And I'm going to wonder, at what point does it become too much?
I think for a lot of people, it's going to be the 2 a.m. start for the Australia game.
No, the thing is, they're going to find a way that it's not going to be a 2 a.m. start.
Which is going to upset me. Which I'll be like the one person who was like, you cowards. You cowards.
Yeah, no, if they start a football game, the NFL starts a football game at 2 a.m., then we have jumped the shark.
I want that so bad.
I know you want it so bad.
You're right. It would be a jump the shark moment. I don't care.
You know what? That's an NHL decision.
Yeah, it would be.
That is a peak NHL decision. There's no way that the NFL starts a game at 2 a.m. unless they go with the Sunday Funday Super Bender.
Man, I want it so bad. I want it to. Yeah, that would probably have.
That's the only way you do it.
The way you do it.
The only way you do it.
I'm a Formula One fan, so I'm like, yeah, I've done this before.
But you're asking the average NFL fan.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I'm the only person that would want this. You'd be upset that they don't do it.
I'm just now trying to think of the logistics of it. How do you end up doing it?
They're horrendous. Yeah, the logistics are terrible.
But, like, what? Like, do you do, like, a 24-hour absolute chaos, throw-it-at-the-wall idea of, like, you have a Sunday where it starts in London, and then you go all the way through your normal slate, and then after Sunday night football, going into Monday morning, there is a 2 a.m. football game?
See, that's where it's a miss. It's going into Monday. Yes. I like the idea of the NFL just like
or
dominating a 24-hour block.
Or you start with the 2 a.m. game.
Yeah.
Then go to London. And then you do your normal slate all the way
through. And you wrap up with Monday Night Football. Nope, I'm in. I've now.
There's no way.
We've talked ourselves
I just thought
into
about it.
No,
no.
We've talked ourselves into
no,
it.
No, I talked you into it.
That's fine.
No.
I'm in.
I'm telling
I'm
you right
in.
Now, that makes me sick. I am not that much of a degenerate that I'm watching football. I'm already watching football all day if there's a London game.
You say that now, but the week leading up, you'll be like, let's see if we can do this. Like, let's have some fun with the idea of like 24-hour span of
and then
football.
By 4 let's o'clock, go, I'm taking a napper.
The problem is, too, you're also going to have like it. I mean, it's going to be like normal NFL slates where you're going to have a window there. Like, the game will go from 2 a.m. to like 5, maybe 6.
Yeah.
What time does a London game usually start? 9?
Yeah.
So you've got – there's too much of a window there.
See?
Where nothing's going on.
And now you killed your own dream.
Yeah. There's too much of a window there. And if the game starts at midnight, let's say, because that's when the Australian Grand Prix typically starts in the Eastern time zone, that's way too much of a block of like, okay, now we've got like 5 hours before the next game.
Yeah.
And it's already early for a lot of people. Do we just play 5 hours of highlights from what likely would be a terrible game? This is, again, 26.
Yeah, no. Like this is the only – like that's the only way trying to figure out of how they would start a game at 2 a.m.
Damn. I was there and I'm out.
Your dream is
all
dead.
In like 3 minutes. That's tough.
And it was me of all people that talked logic
that's
into it.
That's tough. It'd be so much fun though. For like 5 minutes, it'd be a ton of fun.
No, none of that sounds fun. None of that sounds like a good time. That might be me just being older now, but like none of that sounds like fun to me.
See, I could see myself.
Like I would have been
the day the schedule's coming out, waiting for the official announcements.
Ready? Think about this. If we were working that game, how pissed would you be?
Oh, see, yeah, you're thinking I'd be upset. That's an event again.
No.
And I'm there. I'm happy. I'm stoked.
No.
Let's go. Absolutely.
There's something wrong with you.
We were going to do Sports Thunder if the Bills made the Super Bowl.
That's different. You know it. There's energy behind that.
No, it'd be like, it's 2 a.m. game.
No, no,
let's
no.
ride.
Sports Thunder is a vibe. Strictly. That's why we don't do it that much. That's why we haven't done one since 2019.
We would do this one time. It'd be an event. And then you would go home at like 4 or 5 in the morning.
I would puke.
And you get out of there.
We're not done at 4 or 5 in the morning then.
Well, I'm saying like midnight. If it's midnight, 4 or 5 in the morning, 2 a.m., you're like home 6, 7, you go to bed. You wake up for the 1 o'clock window. No issues. You have a few energy drinks, a few cup of coffees beforehand,
no.
Get ready to ride.
Oh my God.
And you're having a blast.
No, I'm not having a blast. None of us are. Only you are having a blast.
Well, I'll carry the group then. I'll come in. I'll come in with a lot of high vibes, and it'll be great. Everyone else will be there like 11:30 getting ready.
You're right.
For hell.
It is only you that wants
and
this.
And I'll come in at midnight. She's like, all right, boys. Here we go. Let's go. Bills Rams.
And you would just get multiple birds sent in your direction.
I'd get a lot of HR complaints. Just like all the emails, be like Zach's a real toxic work environment.
Zach made me want to cry because he's excited about a 2 a.m. football game.
I'd be so into it. I really would.
I would match your energy with toxic pessimism to where I'm also getting HR complaints.
The Bills, though, are going to play an international game this year.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're right. They have the reigning MVP. They're great for ratings.
They are great for ratings. They are kind of like an immediate boon. As a matter of fact, the CBS crew was on site for 2 Bills games this year.
Yeah, they're 100% playing.
They're getting an international game probably this year. So ready? I was disgusted about the opportunity of a 2 a.m. game. Well, guess what? We are going to have to deal with the early start 9 a.m. game though.
They're not. They wouldn't do an AFC East game international, right? Like Dolphins are in Madrid. They wouldn't do that.
You think?
I'm saying it kind of as like a. I don't know, but like,
isn't that the only matchup within the division that has some sort of?
Yeah, because you're not doing Jets, Bills, London. Well, it's not like the London matchups are ever that great. It kind of feels like it's an attack on the British people.
And we're back. Yeah, it could be an unremarkable matchup.
Yeah.
So be ready for that. Yeah, especially because of the fact that they... Wait. Now it kind of makes me think that the Bills aren't getting one.
Oh, really?
Because the matchups are unremarkable out there.
Yeah, but like, I mean, they will try to have like somewhat of a good team in there.
But it's the start of the season, international games that have the big ticket items. Typically, the other games that get sent to London are like... Typically, Jags, Titans, Giants, or Panthers.
Right. Like, I mean, if you were doing like
what the hell are they?
If you were doing a divisional game, like Week 1 Chargers in Brazil, you could totally see the Chiefs.
Yeah.
You could totally see the Chiefs, just because they're like, let's like make this a marquee one. The whole thing.
I'm still disgusted at the 2 a.m. idea.
I don't know why. Come on.
I will.
It's
throw
an
up.
Event, baby.
I will throw up.
I feel like, but in all seriousness, I feel like I'm the only one that would be excited for that, because like everyone has to do post game would be like seriously
having to do pregame.
Pregame. Yeah, what time would pregame start for a 2 a.m. game?
As someone that probably like 11.
Yeah,
11 p.m. pregame. That sounds normal.
That's tough.
Someone
I don't have to do that.
Signed, someone who does pregame.
I don't have to do that.
And sometimes I also do post-game.
Yeah, that's right.
Probably why I hate it more.
You've had full days where I'm like, I do the game and post-game,
like,
and I leave.
Nate and I would glare at you with daggers.
Yeah. Yeah. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, I'm the only one showing up. Everyone would conveniently have plans at 2 in the
conveniently
morning.
Conveniently have. Yeah, the plan is sleep.
At 2 in the morning.
You jackass.
Yes. Emailed to our boss. I got to have off. Why? That's the middle of my bedtime.
That's called bedtime?
That is the middle of my bedtime. I do like some of the locations, though. Berlin's awesome.
Berlin's
I
awesome.
It's great.
Australia is fascinating to me, though. Like, the idea of going there is fascinating. They're going to start it at a normal time. I'm killing your dream.
Cowards.
They are. Let them be. I'm a coward. I want to be in my bed at 2 a.m., not watching football. Fine. That throws off your whole sleep schedule.
For like a day.
No.
For a day. I'm still in my 20s. I'll be fine.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Fine. I'll be fine.
That's the problem.
It won't be that bad.
We're not all 20.
Well, yeah. The ratings would be for that game would be disastrous. Like, I'll be there. The ratings would be a nightmare.
All right,
for
now,
all the positive the NHL is having with the Four Nations and U.S. Canada.
Now, like,
the ratings would come out like Wednesday, and they're like, yeah, the Australia game, the first big miss by the NFL in 30 years.
No. Now you've actually talked me into it because now I want to see those numbers.
All of a sudden, Roger Goodell has to have a press conference. We're talking about if he's going to be fired. Oh, my goodness.
Now I would want to see how many sickos would watch that game.
It's like 15 of us. Dozens.
There are dozens of us. Dozens.
I will lead that charge. See, I say I'll lead that charge, but if I'm not working the game, I'm out by like 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, it better be a barn burner, I'm out.
Yeah.
Oh, man. They're not doing it, which is the frustrating part.
Oh. Cowards.
I want the Bills to have an international game because I like the eyeballs on the Bills.
Yes. It's fun having a team that people flock to watch.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like the early I would even say like the majority of those London games, which always felt like why are you putting these teams there?
Yeah.
Like Jacksonville, outside of like who their owner is.
The EJ Manuel game, Buffalo Jacksonville. Why are we here?
Yeah, again, that felt like we're punishing the British people.
Yeah.
Like when they have
and
like
that game was a punishment on eyeballs.
When they have like international friendlies, they don't send like West Ham and Norwich City, and they're like, yeah, this is the best we can offer. This is love our sport.
I totally know what you're talking
they're
about.
They're like, here's Man City and Liverpool at the peak of their powers. Enjoy. Have fun.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. and the NFL was like, here's Jacksonville with Blake Bortles and the Bills with EJ Manuel. Enjoy.
Oh, do you like those ugly helmets? We're going to send you more of that team.
I just remember the stat forever. Kyle Pitts, like in 2 years, had one touchdown. It wasn't even on like
American soil,
which is amazing. Oh,
At least they get to see something rare.
I want Madrid. Especially because the Dolphins can't even fill out their own stadium. Let's go to Madrid. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Damn.
Let's do it.
Taking shots.
That's what I want.
Love
that. That's what I want. They can come to Buffalo. We fill out the stadium. We're going to go to Madrid because you guys can't. That's the rule.
Whew.
That's the rule. I like it.
And then we never have to hear any complaints about the sun.
It's hot in Spain. It's hot. A little toasty.
But at the same time, are they gaming the construction of their sidelines?
No.
Which, again, Miami, you have that right.
Do we know what stadium the Madrid game's in?
No. At least I don't know it offhand.
And while you
look that up, I will go ahead and say yes. More or less, getting back to the appreciating of the fact that the Bills are a very marketable team. It is nice. Are there plenty of people that, you know, miss the usual 1 o'clock slate every single week for
the majority of
two decades?
Right. It's not surprising. It's the Bernabeu. It's Real Madrid's home stadium.
That's fair.
So that makes sense. It was either them or Atletico, for being honest.
I do like the fact that the Bills are in constantly different time slots because of the fact that they are marketable. They are good enough that other people appreciate them. We don't have to keep this team all to ourselves. And I know that this region is a very proud region. But we should be willing to share the Bills with any and all newcomers that want to watch them. If someone says, 15 years down the road, I became a Bills fan because of Josh Allen, that's cool.
Especially, if you're not from Buffalo.
Yeah, if you're not from Buffalo and you just started getting into the Bills, like you've had a downtrodden team and you're like, I actually like the Bills because I'm watching them enough now.
Mm-hmm.
That is a really good thing. It should be something that you want to hear more about from people. As I became a Bills fan because they were on my TV, because Josh Allen is slapped on there on the screen with Paramount Plus.
Yeah. And now that he's won the MVP,
he's going to be slapped up on screens.
He's even for more marketing. Yeah, he's even, and they were already a team that got a lot of eyeballs. You mentioned
Josh Allen's hanging out with Peppa Pig.
Yeah, that's right. But we had like full crews coming to do games for the Bills twice this year, and you know,
even the atrocity of when ESPN came here and like the Applebee's boneless wings thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
They still show up to Buffalo.
It would just be nice. We just need a few more stars, a few more star players on this team. I know. 803-0550.
Right into my trap card.
803-0550, the number two call. Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network coming up in just about 15 minutes. Talk more on this year's draft in a potential scenario in which they do not land one of these elite edge rushers with their first two picks for trading purposes. We'll talk to Ryan, get more on this year's draft with the Combine starting next week. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR. We got some Four Nations news from the other day. Charlie McAvoy, we do know, is going to be out for Thursday, and the Bruins did release a number of statements from yesterday and then into today, more on his health. He's out, of course, for Thursday. Does seem to be a little bit more long-term due to an infection McAvoy got in an upper body injury he suffered.
Yeah, what's with the illnesses and the infections,
yeah,
by the way?
Not great. Not great.
Weirdest thing of the tournament.
Yeah, on that, the U.S. has, I'm gonna use quotes here, called up Quinn Hughes. Although he has not made the trip to Boston.
That is ultimately like the air quotes called up.
Yeah, he has not made the trip to Boston unless basically he is assured he's going to play.
If he's not making the trip by now, he's not in.
Yeah, he's not in. So a lot of the fun ideas of, oh, Quinn Hughes going to be on the U.S., it's not happening. And if it does, it's very much the 11th hour kind of deal. Still excited for tomorrow, though, especially it sounds like both Kachuk brothers are going to play. Auston Matthews seems good. Really, it's McAvoy that seems to be the only guy that's going to be out. A little frustrated, though. No Quinn Hughes.
You can be frustrated for it, but at the same time, wasn't it something injury-related that kept him out in the first place?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, that doesn't surprise
me. Battling injuries.
So, no, that's not all that surprising. You had to deal with him not being here in the first place. Might as well finish the whole thing like that.
It's more selfishly. I just want like the best players and the most fun players to be playing.
Yes.
And he is one of them.
But Canada's dealing with two injuries there. Cale Makar didn't play in the last game.
Yep.
I'm not all that surprised. You know, like, injuries happen. It is hockey, after all.
Yeah, I mean, this tournament has been physical. And that's the thing, too. Maybe the one positive part of, like, the Sabres not having a ton of players in this. Like, if they were in a playoff spot and they had a ton of players in this, it's been a lot
You'd
of guys
sweating
getting
bullets.
Beat up. Yeah, there's been a lot of guys beat up and you know, battling through
a
stuff.
A lot of Florida fans are probably sweating bullets right now.
Yeah.
Because they've got players in prominent positions on the team tomorrow night. You got Kachuk, you got Bennett, you got Reinhardt.
Yeah.
You had Barkov in it. You had Forsling.
Mm-hmm. They've had a number of guys, and it's you're especially, you know, Matthew Kachuk.
I was talking to Joe Kelly on Monday about the lack of star power that the Sabres have, and you look at all the rosters. Yeah, if you were in a playoff spot or even in contention and you had even an extra player or two in there,
right,
like a Tage Thompson for another match with Canada and how physical it was. It's like, oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you probably weren't loving this as much as maybe the average hockey fan, which is just like, this is so cool.
Yep.
You're more thinking, end.
Yes.
Please end.
Yes. And it's so, but that said, I think that it is great, though, that it was the perfect appetizer to international play.
Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Should be a blast. Can't wait. 803-0550, the number two call. We'll get more on this year's draft is coming up next. Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network joins us. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.